Friends, this is a gospel family. Rich and poor, slave and free, prisoners and jailers alike, people with nothing in common, who are now united as partners in the gospel, God's own handiwork, becoming together like Jesus himself.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're so glad you're joining us today as we begin a brand new series in the book of Philippians. Pastor Philip, always good to be with you, but you're taking us back to the basics.
That's right. That's the name of the series, Back to Basics. And sometimes I think we think basics, beginner. But that would be a false assumption. The basics are for everybody. Of course, you need those when you just begin. But anybody who's played any sort of sports or anything like that knows the importance of the basics. The fundamentals. You can do all kinds of fancy footwork and whatever out there. But at the end of the day, the basic elements of the game, you've got to pay attention to those or the whole thing falls apart. And the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and he's going to bring them back to the very basics of the gospel, the basics of what it means to be the people of God and to not forget who we are in the world. And so that's what this series is all about.
Outstanding. So let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we return to our gospel foundations. This is part one of the sermon, The Basics of the Gospel.
In 1961, at the start of training camp, Vince Lombardi walked into the locker room of the Green Bay Packers and spoke what would become one of the most iconic lines in all of sports history. Gentlemen, this is a football. He was reminding them of the fundamentals, getting back to the basics, because it's easy to forget the basics. It's easy to neglect the core disciplines of the game that make for a winning team. And Vince Lombardi knew that no amount of trick plays or player talent would be enough if they didn't master the very basics of the game. And the same thing is true, friends, of the Christian life. If we want to be joyously in love with Jesus, if we want to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, if we want to be growing together as the family of God, it doesn't matter how many fancy conferences we go to, or how many of the latest books we read or podcasts we consume. If we aren't engaged in the very basics of the life of following Jesus, it won't matter. All of us, whether we've been following Jesus one day or a lifetime, need to remember the basics. Get back to basics. And I know of no better place to go to remind us of the basics of the life of following Jesus than the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians. Philippians is all about getting back to the basics. The basics of following hard after Jesus. The basics of living in the power of the Holy Spirit, the basics of the interdependencies of the life of the family of God. So grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 1 as we kick off our series today. We're going to look at the first 18 verses. Today we're going to get back to the basics of the gospel, the basics of the gospel. Because for followers of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news that God is reconciling all things, including us, to himself through his son, Jesus Christ, that gospel, that good news is the news that changes everything. The gospel changes everything. And today we're going to see four fruits of the gospel for our lives. Today, we're going to see how the gospel creates a gospel family. It creates gospel charity. It gives us a gospel destiny. And it gives us a gospel priority. A gospel family, a gospel charity, a gospel destiny, and a gospel priority. Would you bow your heads? Let's go to the Lord as we open his word. Father, would you be with us now? Teach us what it means to get back to the basics of following Jesus Christ. This year filled with pandemics and chaos has unhinged so many of us, knocked us off course, and messed up our rhythms. We need to get back. Teach us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. First, we see here a gospel family. A gospel family. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just pause for a moment here. The Apostle Paul and his protege, Timothy, are writing this letter to a church that they planted in the city of Philippi about a decade earlier. Paul came to Philippi on what we call his second missionary journey around AD 49. You can read about this in Acts 16. He now writes this letter about a decade or so later, 60 to 62 AD, while under house arrest in Rome. And in many ways, this letter is a thank you note. You know, the ones your mom made you write? This is a thank you note. The Philippians had heard that Paul was in prison, so they took up an offering to help with his expenses and to stand in solidarity with him. And they sent one of their own, a guy named Epaphroditus, to bring to Paul a care package, a journey that would have been over 800 miles. And on this seven-week journey, it took its toll on Epaphroditus' life, and upon arrival, he had to be nursed back to health because he fell gravely ill in travels. But now, having sufficiently recovered from his illness, Epaphroditus will head back to Philippi with this letter of thanks in hand, a letter we call the Book of Philippians. It is addressed here to the Philippian congregation, the church, and to their leadership, the overseers, the elders, and the deacons. And in customary Pauline fashion, he extends his greetings with the phrase, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The customary Jewish greeting, of course, was shalom, peace. And so Paul has that, but he leads with grace, because it is by grace that we have peace with God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I love this. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. You remembered me. You sent me a gift, and now I remember you. I remember you in my prayers, and I'm full of thanksgiving. I think Paul would have remembered someone like Lydia. Lydia was a businesswoman from Thyatira. She was a dealer in high-end fashion goods. She marketed beautiful clothes for beautiful people. She was wealthy and influential, and she had been captivated by the beauty of the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul would have remembered the demon-possessed slave girl who was poor and oppressed without rights or freedoms, who had been commercially exploited by her owners, who had been liberated by the power of Jesus Christ. Paul would have remembered the jailer, the suicidal jailer whose life had been spared by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He and his whole household had found life in Jesus. All of these faces and others from Acts 16 would have flashed through Paul's mind, and he offers with each one a prayer of thanks, gratitude that this group of disparate people who otherwise would have had nothing in common, had been brought together as a family by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, I make my prayer with joy. Why? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He's like, we're no longer strangers. We're partners. Our lives, our pursuits, our destinies are all bound together with one another. We're joined together in partnership in the gospel. From the first day you believed and cast all your hopes on the good news that Jesus Christ had died in your place and for your sake and offered his life to pay for your sin and shame so that you might be adopted into the family of God and made right with him forever. Would you believe that gospel? From that day on, we became partners. Partners in this great work of what God is doing in our lives and through our lives in the world. We became partners in the gospel. God knit our souls together deeply, permanently. He bound us to one another and he united us as a forever family in Christ. And this is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Verse 6, and I'm sure of this, that he who began this good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. What God began, he will finish. God never drops the ball. This gospel that has taken hold of our lives, he says, this beauty that captivated your soul, this freedom that God has won for you, this life that God has redeemed, this is just the beginning, and the best is yet to come, because one day we will see Jesus, amen? And we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. Friends, this is a gospel family, rich and poor, slave and free, prisoners and jailers alike, people with nothing in common, who are now united as partners in the gospel, God's own handiwork, becoming together like Jesus himself. Friends, the gospel enfolds us into uncommon unity. Do you see that? One of the ways you know the gospel is at work in your life or in the life of a community is it brings together people who would never otherwise have be together. That's one of the things I love about Moody Church. God has brought together here a beautiful family from all walks of life, from every socioeconomic strata, diverse ages and ethnicities. He has made us partners in the gospel by his grace. You cannot explain a church family like ours except for the grace of God. Amen? This is God's doing, and we are partners in the gospel. This is a gospel family, but we have to live into it, you see. We have to live into it. The question is, will we allow the gospel to redefine our social circle? Will we allow the gospel to redefine our social circle? Will we allow the gospel to make us partners with people we would otherwise avoid or despise, but now, because of the grace of God, have become our own gospel family? We have to yield to the work of the Spirit, you see, to the power of the gospel, to live into what God has made, this gospel family.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're so glad you're joining us today. We're in the book of Philippians, and today we explore how the gospel transforms our social circles. Now, Pastor Philip, this is really challenging because it's requiring us, as you say, to redefine, to refocus, maybe even take us out of our comfort zone.
Yeah. Well, and that's what Paul's writing into. He's writing to this church in Philippi, and we've got Lydia, who's this, you know, very affluent boutique owner making beautiful clothes for beautiful people. You've got a slave girl who's been demon-possessed that's freed and liberated. You've got a Philippian jailer, you know, who has come his whole household to faith. We know Philippi is a city full of all kinds of retired Roman generals from the wars, and you've got Jewish people who've been under the boot of Rome for years. So you've got people that are pro-Caesar, you got people that are anti-Caesar, you've got high social status, you've got low social status, you've got it all mixed in. And the whole point is, this is a new family that Christ has assembled. These people would never have hung out with each other.
Right.
Their social circles would never have overlapped any time. They would never have bumped into each other. And now, here they are in a house church, gathered together, brothers and sisters in Christ because of what Jesus has done. And they got to figure it out. They got to figure out how to be this family and to love people that Jesus loves that they normally wouldn't love, right?
Yes.
And so that is inherently uncomfortable. It's stretching. And I think that's on purpose. Like, God has put us in the family of God with people from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language, different socioeconomic perspectives and situations, different political persuasions, different ethnicities, different backgrounds, different priorities in life. People see the world through very different lenses, and yet here we are worshiping the same God, celebrating communion, the body and blood of Christ, which is for each one of us. We're knit together in this family of God, filled with the Spirit of God, and now we get to figure it out. And that's what Paul's challenging the believers to do, is to recognize you do have this uncommon unity in the body of Christ, and it ought to start changing the way you think about each other. And I think he's calling us to this kind of uncomfortableness where we're willing to build friendships in the gospel, partnerships in ministry with people that this is going to stretch us all, you know?
Okay, fine. It's a command. I got to start being more comfortable with people that don't come from the same background or talk like I do or look like I do, but there's some blessings in this, right?
There's so much.
Tell us about that.
Well, so, you know, we know everybody in Christ has a spiritual gift and are there to edify the rest of the body of Christ, which means that we need each and every one of us in the body of Christ. So there are graces that God intends for me that can only come through you. And if I don't know you, if I'm not opening myself up in relationship with you, I will never see them. And I will never know all that Christ wants to give of himself to me through you unless I'm in relationship with you. So it is a call to be open and vulnerable. And it is a call to be attentive to the work of Christ in other people. I'm supposed to be a student. I'm supposed to be listening. I'm supposed to be growing by having these different kinds of relationships. And so I know in my own life, there are things, for example, you know her, she's an older African-American lady here at Moody Church. She sits down in the front row and she is a prayer warrior. And she has had, in many ways, a really hard life. And she has taught me more about endurance and faithfulness and what does it look like to serve the Lord when your body is not strong and when so many hard things have happened in your life, but you don't give up and you persevere and you get at it. Like, she has taught me and shown me beauties in Jesus that I wouldn't have seen if I weren't in relationship with her. And so it's just one example, but there's a million of them. We need each other and we need to be attentive to the Spirit of Christ and what God is doing in people's lives. I'm supposed to learn and grow because of what I'm seeing modeled in the people around me. And so that just requires a kind of humility that is willing to listen, a kind of, I gotta let go of my expectations sometimes. You know, we all like certain songs and we like things to be a certain way, but you know what? The church is bigger than me. It's not just for me. And I've gotta be willing to lay down some of my expectations and to, in love, recognize some of the songs we're singing might be for other people. Some of the church programming we're doing might not be for me, but it's for others. There are people that come that need this, and it may not be for me. And that kind of deferential humility and others-centeredness, that's the kind of, it reflects the heart of Christ, I think. And that's the kind of posture I think Paul is really encouraging here, is you're a part of a family, and that family is really diverse. And so to preserve that unity, you're going to have to serve each other in love. And so that's the high calling that he has for us.
I really like that example of the blessing received from someone else who is different and their walk has been different. That's a wonderful example. And I know exactly who you're talking about. You touched on songs, though, there. So that's really a... We got to address this, right? So how do we preserve unity and have these theological differences? I mean, there are some people, and none of our listeners, who would say, well, they should only sing hymns. There shouldn't be anything but hymns in the church. But
or the other way, right?
Right.
Why aren't we singing only stuff that's on the radio? Those old things, they're not relevant anymore, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. But both of those are errors, aren't they? That we need to recognize... We have a multi-generational, multicultural movement of the gospel. And so we all need to be a little bit more relaxed and not insist that everything be our way and that we like everything. I expect when I come to church, there's going to be a couple songs that really resonate with me, and there's probably going to be a couple songs that don't. And that's how it should be.
Do you sing them anyway?
I sing them anyway because, you know what? I look at my kids and I go, wow, they love that song. And that's ministering to them. And so... I can sing this song because I'm a part of a body that's way bigger than me, and it's not about me. This is about Jesus anyway. We're not worshiping us, we're worshiping him. And so we ought to lay down some of those expectations and just recognize this is not a consumer thing where I'm buying a product and it's curated for me. Mm. This is a body of Christ I'm coming into, and my job is to lay down and serve others. And so sometimes that means I got to be a little uncomfortable for the sake of the gospel. And that's a good thing.
Pastor Philip, we've got a little time left, so I need to ask you. We've been talking about unity and this gospel unity, but is there a time when we need to make a break in fellowship?
I think the blazing center for us is theological, right? That the truths of Scripture that are centered in salvation, that Jesus is God's own son, that he's the incarnate one, that he died on the cross for our sins. Those essential for salvation, doctrinal issues, those are always essential and we've got to hang on to them. We have other doctrines and things that are, you know, another ring out. We can hold them with conviction, but we recognize maybe other Christians might disagree on these. And then you've got a ring of things that are preferences or things like that. And we've just got to hold those a lot less loosely so that, you know, the old adage in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity, love. That's our marching orders. And that's what God calls us to. So unity in the important things and a whole lot of flexibility when it comes to the non-essentials.
Oh, outstanding. I appreciate that vision of Christian unity, and I'm excited about next time. We're going to be talking about a new purpose and new affections, and I hope you'll join us. Even though we belong in God's family, many of us still struggle to trust him. Have you ever felt that God is silent? When God seems silent, we all wonder if he truly cares. You know, Pastor Lutzer, he gives this critical truth to us. He says, never interpret the silence of God as the indifference of God. Amen. God is sovereign and works all things together for good for those who love him. Do you believe that? Your trial is not random, but tailor-made for your growth. In Pastor Lutzer's book, he helps us to trust God in the trials and in unanswered prayers. It's called, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? A Biblical Guide to God's Hidden Purposes. Now, this is a great resource for yourself, for a friend, or a book study with your church. Now, this is the last day we're offering Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? And you can get it delivered right to your door for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.